بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته، ولا أمة بعد أمته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable ulama ikram, hufaz of the Quran, brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you look into the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we see at every moment, juncture, occasion, there was a dua that was recited by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the duas of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are not just protection, hifadha, or afia and rahmah and blessings. Rather, even in the prophetic selection of words, how the dua is stringed, that also is hidayat and guidance for us. In one of the duas, we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated a phrase and a word. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika, O Allah, I seek protection min fitnatil nar, wa a'udhu bika min adhabil nar, wa a'udhu bika min fitnatil qabr, wa a'udhu bika min adhabil qabr, wa a'udhu bika min fitnatil ghina, wa a'udhu bika min fitnatil faqr, wa a'udhu bika min fitnatil masihid dajjal. That we would see this word fitna is very often repeated in this dua. O may Allah protect me from the fitna, the test and the trial of the fire of Jahannam. O may Allah protect me from the adab of the fire of Jahannam. Ya Allah protect me from the fitna of the grave, the trial, the test of the grave. And every now and then we should give time for ourselves. Sometimes we're so busy in this rut, we forgot about ourselves. Sit and really think that I've come at a time, I was never here forever. The people who were here, a lot of them, I'm also going to leave. This life is too short to be playing around, to be arguing, to be fighting, to be quarreling, to continue pursuing the things that are going to be failing us. Every now and then I have to think, my final abode is the qabr. I'm going to be staying in the qabr. Irrespective of the luxuries that I enjoy and secure in this life, how much have I secured for the next life? So Nabi Sam is repeating this. Protect me, O my Allah, from the fitna of the grave and the punishment of the grave. And then, wa fitnatil ghina, wa fitnatil faqri. Ya ulama explained that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for two opposites. And that is ghina, which is richness, riches, and faqr, poverty. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, O my Allah, protect me overindulging, having too much of wealth. And O my Allah, protect me even from the test and the trial of being below the bread line and having less. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for the fitna of both. Sometimes a person's test is in excessive wealth. And sometimes the test is in no wealth. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so amazing and balanced, ma qalla wa kafa khayrun mimma kathura wa alha. What is a little efficient? You can do your umrah, you pay your bills, you're living your life, is better than having a lot and you become negligent of Allah. And you forget the objective for which we are in this life. And ask the people who are amazingly or super rich. They are even really not with sukoon and raha. They've got that wealth, but imagine sitting in the restaurant with all your bodyguards looking at how you're eating. You can't even enjoy your plate of food without people around you. You can't enjoy even a meeting without someone next to you. Yes, the youngsters initially from these families will be very excited. move around with bodyguards. Eventually, it's a headache. You're worried, you're concerned. You can't lead a life, a normal life. And everyone's, you're watching your back and you're scared. Made dua for protection from the fitna of excess wealth and the fitna of even poverty. And remember the word fitna. The word fitna actually can be used for fatantu dhahab, they say in Arabic. Fatantu dhahab means that a person, when the process of smelting gold to and the process of acquiring pure gold, so the gold goes to a process, extreme heat, and it's only the genuine that's left. It's a separation of the good from the bad. And every fitna is a separation of the pious from the impious. The good from the non-good. The people of Jannah from the people of Jahannam. Every fitna and every trial is a test. It's differentiating, it's a criteria. Who are those that are obedient and who are those that are disobedient? And especially in this time that we find ourselves getting into, where people will call it the silly season, a crazy season, where it's really busy and we don't know what's happening. And it's really crunch time for many people. The businessmen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a lot of barakah. We'll be paying our zakah, we'll be helping masajid, we'll be helping madaris, the poor, the needy. Very good, alhamdulillah. Allah give a lot of barakah. If the intention is correct, that we are earning it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in this acquisition of doing good, let us not forget our families. Let us not forget even ourselves. Fitna can come in different shapes and forms. Fitna can come in different shapes and forms. The word fitna in the Quran is used for various reasons. وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةً. In this ayah, fitna is used in relation to kufr and shirk. For a person disbelieving, fitna, yer means kufr. That, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fight the disbelievers. Hatta la takuna fitna, until we efface kufr and shirk. And there isn't kufr left. Hatta la takuna fitna. And sometimes fitna is used in the general sense. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَنْقُوا أَن يَنْقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do we think we're going to live a life and there's not going to be a test? This life is about being tested. There is no life without being tested. We would be tested in this life. Just that every person's test and the nature of the test is different. You may feel someone else is not going through what you are going through. Perhaps he's going through it in a different way. So fitna comes in different forms, different shapes. A person can have all the wealth in the world. He's got it all. But he's spending it 50, 70,000 rand a month just to detox the son. Why, my son must just come out clean. I know the money I'm making is excess of a million turnover a month and whatever it is. But there's no sukoon in life. He has to lock even his own cupboards in his house from his own son. From the own family members, he's locking his house. He has to keep the son in the room and he has to lock and just give him bare necessities. Is that a life with all that wealth? That also is a fitna, it's a test, it's a trial. Allah protect us. But we have to be careful and on guard. That fitna comes in different shapes and forms, and especially in this time and era, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ فِتَنًا كَقِتَئِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ. That the fitna to unleash on the ummah is like the darknesses of night. And very quickly, overnight, يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. It'll just be the turn of the day and the night, and the person is a kafir. And yes, haven't we heard, don't we see, don't we know, are we not aware of incidents that are happening? Well, it's just an utterance and a statement that the person is out of the fold of Islam, and he hasn't even realized. Sometimes we have to be very careful of the blessed personality of Rasul. It can be just one state. It can be a statement about salah and masjid. It can be any aspect of the deen of Allah. But whatever is difficult and is hard for me, I must guard my tongue. Be careful of saying, I wish this was not part of the deen. Be careful of saying, I wish the deen could have been redesigned for this age and this time, na'udhu billah. So, as we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But this is a fitna. It's a test where a person statements certain things he would say, and that will usher him out of the fold of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, protect our progenies. And fitna is also used for liberalism, for materialism, where a person's end goal, the only thing he is pursuing is that materialism. If I get it, if I can drive it, if I can own it, if I can stay in it, if I can buy this, then that's his goal and it's happiness. It may be happiness, it may be a milestone, but it'll never be sukoon. It'll never be itminan. It'll never be where your heart is at ease. The heart can never be at ease with the things of this world. The heart is only at ease with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mulayna Subhatil Rahmatul Ali, he used to say, you see, just as a compass, you move it in any direction, but that needle is going to always move to true north. Move it in any direction, that needle wants to move to true north. He says, exactly is the heart. Take it to the wealth, take it to the dunya, take it to a exotic holiday, wherever you know, go around the world. Buy the most expensive watch, drive the most expensive car. That heart is still restless. The heart will only find sukoon when that heart is facing Allah. Just as that compass has to face true north, this heart is restless. It wants to face Allah. But we're taking it in directions that are besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no happiness. And we buying the best, we're wearing the best, and we're still not happy. Yes, people will be happy and people make salam. But myself inside, I know I'm not happy. I'm not finding that sukoon. Why is it? Because my heart is not facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as for salah to be correct, we have to face qibla. For the life to be correct, the heart has to face Allah. The qibla of the heart is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes we have to really check in our families, in our close circles, our children. No problem, you can drive the best, you can wear the best, and you can live in the best. There's no problem, there's no issue in it. But ask our children, is this something that they pride themselves with? That if they don't go to school with a certain car, it's a problem? If he doesn't stay in a certain estate or house or place, then that is a problem? The address that he gives, and he prides himself with what he drives and what he wears, then that is going to be a test. Then that definitely is a test. Abdullah, Malik ibn Dinar rahimahullah. Malik bin Dinar rahimahullah, he was the sage of the time. One day, as he was walking around, he saw one youngster, and this youngster really got him worried. He was building a very palatial home, spending exorbitant funds and money. So Malik bin Dinar walked, and he just asked his colleague that, who's this? He says, no, certain youngster. He says, okay, that family. He says, gee. He says, what is he doing? He says, no, he's building his dream house. He says, wow. Can we go and meet him? He says, yeah, let's go and meet him. So he tapped on that youngster. Who are you? He gave his name. He says, what you doing? He says, I'm building my dream house. How much is it going to cost you? Give him a value, silver coins. Here we're dealing with rands and cents. Those were coins, proper money. So he says, 100,000 is going to cost me. Over millions of rands. And for that time, so he says, okay, can we enter into a better deal? He says, better deal? You mean you can get? He says, yes. I can promise you a palace in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will be built with bricks of gold and silver. The sand will be sapphire and the cement will be musk. And the building of which has never been touched and there's no builder for it. It's just sukun. Be, and it comes into existence. He says, okay, let me think about it. I'm in the world. I need something in this world also. So he says, let me think about it. I'll come to you and let's see what decision I arrive at tomorrow. So the next day, this youngster wakes up. He's looking for Malik bin Dinar. He gave it a thought. He slept over it. He says, oh Malik, because someone explained to him that this is a very pious person. I mean, if he can stand guarantee and surety for this, you're going to be getting a place and reserving a palace in Jannah. He says, amazing, that's a really good deal. For 100,000 silver coins, I don't mind. And he really was on the opposite side of the fence. So he went to Malik bin Dinar, he says, I gave it a thought and I want my palace, I want to secure my spot in Jannah. So what does it require?
He says, you have to pay for it. Alayna silat Allahi ghaliya. The price of Jannah is not cheap. You have to pay for it. He says, what would it cost? He says, whatever it costed you for this house. He says, take the money. He says, but this money is not going to be mine. This is an amanat that I will use to spend in the path of Allah. Not a cent for me. Everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, alhamdulillah. But can you give me like some receipt I can show Allah, like Malik bin Dinar, has, you know, he stands surety. He says, yes, I can give you something. So Malik bin Dinar also, what he did was, he wrote a letter. And he wrote over there, from Malik bin Dinar, in the name of Allah, oh my Allah, this youngster, we guarantee him such a Jannah with the descriptions, etc. He wrote his name and he signed it, gave it to this youngster. The entire night, Malik bin Dinar is, in your name, I've secured a place in Jannah for him, you make it a reality. And he cried the entire night. And he cried and he teared for him. 40 days later, this youngster passes away. 40 days later, this youngster passed away. Malik bin Dinar was in a different masjid. And in his masjid, as he came to the front towards the member and he finds a piece of paper, Malik bin Dinar opens this paper, he looks at it. And this letter now is written. And it says that the creator of Jannah takes full responsibility and absolves you, O Malik, for his spot in Jannah. So Malik bin Dinar is amazed, like, who's going to write this? So he runs out of the, after the salah, he takes his friend and his colleague, he goes to this youngster, looks for him, finds the masjid. He says, excuse me, where's this? He says, janazah salah, he says, performed. He says, who did the ghusl and kafan? He says, I did it. He says, give me the details of what exactly transpired. He says, no, this youngster, he was on deathbed, he could see himself very slowly, like, you know, withering away, going away to our next realm. So he took a piece of paper and he told me, please, youngster, don't open when I pass away. Put this in my coffin. You put this and you tie it up, you put it in my coffin. So that's what I did. I took the page and I put it in a coffin. I didn't open it. I just saw the outside of the, how this piece of paper looked like. So when he said that, then Malik bin Dinar took out a piece of paper from his pocket. He says, that's the paper. That's the paper. He says, no, no, no. But I already put it in the coffin. He says, you didn't read the message. No, I didn't read the message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has taken the guarantee for his Jannah. Only in 40 days, he secured his place in Jannah. But the lesson that we may overlook is that Malik bin Dinar went into dua and he cried for this youngster. Parents, fathers, grandfathers, every one of us, we have to be crying for ourselves and crying for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to be crying for our children. The day we're going to be tearing and crying for them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the hidayah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the decision, inshaAllah. But we have to be crying, we have to be tearing, we have to be making dua for them. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara, kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi. Every one of us is a shepherd and we're responsible for our flock. And when last have I made dua for my flock? When last have I checked on my flock? How much am I seen? Is he on the straight path? Is he walking the road to Sirat-e-Mustaqim, to Jannah? Where is he facing? What is he doing? Who's his clique? And what is he eating? So yes, fitan can come in different shapes and forms. But that topic of talking about the different fitan, how do we protect ourselves, especially in this season? We know if a person is driving a certain type of a car, you don't want to drive it in certain areas, high risk. I wouldn't park it in certain areas, high risk. It'll get stolen. I mean, this car, they don't even need the keys and they will get in and they'll drive it away and I'll lose the vehicle. So you know certain vehicles have to be inside. Brother, do you have parking in the property, not outside the property, not street parking inside? Yes, we've got. So then when a person will take a certain vehicle, so you're worried about it. Even when it comes to our homes, we know certain areas. We have to beef up our security for certain areas. To whatever level, whatever is happening, we beef up our security. How about this time beefing up the security for our iman, for the iman of our children? How much have I put an alarm system for my children? So their iman now is going to be protected in this season, in this time, in this period that we find ourselves. Remember, brothers, if you really have to analyze the calendar, Islamic calendar, December is going to become a very critical month for every believer in South Africa, and especially to the south. For every one of us, we hardly come out from holiday, and it's only barely a month and Ramadan starts. And that Hafiz, who was running amok in December, come that first of Ramadan, and he will be puzzling. Why? And that believer who went for a holiday and he forgot Allah, he dropped his guard because he was looking for an exotic spot where he won't see anyone. And lo and behold, he saw someone from his gham there. And he dropped his guard. He says, no, no one will see. Take out parda and we swim and we'll enjoy or go in a certain place or do certain things. Allah protect. Sometimes we're getting phone calls from sons who are saying, Maulana, what can you do for my father? What's happening? He says, my father is an addict. What you mean he's an addict? No, he's addicted to gambling. I'm feeding him, but I'm controlling him. I don't know how to control it. If I don't give it, it's a problem in the house. It's definitely hell on earth. I have to give him, but I'm trying to control it. How old your father? Allahu Akbar. You hear this ages, then you get shocked. 70 years old, and he's in gambling, and he's addicted, can't come out of it. Allah protect us from all fitan. Allah protect us from every type of fitna that's coming on the ummah. So the lesson is we have to be careful, number one, is those places where our iman will be vulnerable to an attack. We have to be careful. Our children cannot go there. Certain places, be careful. Certain times, be careful. Number two, as adults, as parents, as earning fathers, grandfathers, the nature of our earning is critical in the upbringing of our children. If the earning is halal, then the result of the child is pious. If that is going to be tainted, if that's going to be incorrect and impure, it will affect the upbringing of our children. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, on his deathbed, his friend came to visit him. So the father is saying, Wallahi la'alamu mimali dirhaman min haram, wala dirhaman min shubha. He says, I don't even recall earning one ran, or we can say one ran out of haram. Forget about haram, not even doubtful earnings. Nothing is in doubt. If it was in doubt, I left it out. And what was the result of it? His son was Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, who became known as the master in the field of hadith. His book is most authentic after Quran Sharif. And no alim and scholar can qualify until he doesn't study Sahih al-Bukhari. That was the result. But what was the effort? Ensuring that the earnings are pure, 100% halal. Number one, that's one important. The other important aspect for every one of us, especially in this time, be very guarded and careful with regards to what we eat. Sometimes we're looking for the latest in town, but we haven't researched whether that is halal. Is it 100% halal? Is it someone I can trust? That I can say, listen, I can put my iman on the block for him, and he's going to serve me something 100% halal? Because whatever you're going to eat is going to affect your salah. Sufyan Thawri, rahimullah, says, for 6 months I was deprived of tahajjud. Great muhaddith. He says, for 6 months I was deprived of tahajjud. He says, I learned the hard lesson of one doubtful morsel. I just didn't, you know, do any homework. I trusted the man and I said, it's fine. And for 6 months I was deprived of tahajjud salah. And I said, I have to be careful and unguarded exactly what I'm going to be eating. It must be 100% halal. No compromise. There was a great muhaddith, and he was eloquent, he was a good, he could debate. So one day in his debates, he was called to the front. In his debate, he was a person who would rap away. He was really gifted with the gab. He could speak uninterrupted. He would just, you know, very eloquent and soft in his message and his speech. And that particular day, there was a stutter in his speech. As he was debating, and then he continued after that, like everything was fine. So the disciples came to him and said, Sheikh, you know, you never ever stutter and you don't stumble, you don't fumble. Well, what happened today? So he says, that one sip, and he just brushed it aside and he carried on. And then they came back to him and said, Sheikh, what's that one sip? We don't know about that one sip. He says, when I was a small boy, not when I was a big person, I was a young milk suckling boy. And my mother was very preoccupied in the house with some work. And I was crying. I could not control myself. So the neighbor's slave girl was in the house. So she caught me. She tried to comfort me and I wouldn't stop crying. So she took me and placed me on her breast and I started suckling the milk of that slave girl that belongs to the neighbor. In that interim, my father walked in and he seen what had happened. Immediately he grabbed me. He pushed his finger into my throat as a youngster. He explained this incident to me. Held me upside down to take out whatever milk was in my stomach. He said, "Excuse me, did you seek permission from your master?" "No, you haven't had permission from your master to breastfeed my child. This is not permissible. So therefore, I need to take out the milk." He took it all out. And he says, "Oh my son, the day anything happens wrong, perhaps it's that one sip that I was unable to take out from your stomach." So he says that one sip, this is the effects of it, one sip. And imagine if the day's earning is contaminated. Imagine if the earnings of a person, his livelihood, the manner in which he deals is going to be contaminated. If that's going to be questionable, then what are we dreaming of? What do we want for the future of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The importance of eating halal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect every one of us. Another very important fitna for every one of us is the fitna of the cell phone and technology. This is a fitna Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a fitnatun amya samma. That a fitna will come blind, silent, no speaking to anyone. It will come, invade, break homes, break marriages, and break even a person's life. Silently, it will come and operate and break. Listen, this is not a message to attack any youngster. Forget about youngsters, it's for all and sundry. Sometimes you get people in the masjid, you hardly meet salam and the hand is in the phone like, "What next?" And then you make in your dua after. You hardly meet salam. Sometimes you're still in the masjid. You haven't even walked out. But your hand is in the phone already before you even read sunnah. That's a fitna. In the house of Allah to take out the cell phone and you know what you got on your cell phone. How are you going to stand in front of Allah? Allah is watching in His house. And for the youngsters, no attack. But we know we're addicted, right? The moment the father says, "Listen, better listen, there has to be a tent. You don't trust me, daddy? You don't trust me?" Immediately he plays that card. "You don't trust me? You saw my report? You saw my report. So what's the problem?" No, it's not about that. You can be the best swimmer in the world. It doesn't mean I must go throw you in the ocean with the great white sharks and say, "Swim yourself to safety." No. So your father knows what's a safe zone for you. He loves you. I promise you, you'll never find the people who love you more sincerely than your parents. Till the day of Qiyamah, you won't find. So when they come, it's not an attack. It's love. It's concern. It's worry. So in this time, parents, ourselves, we have to look at ways of detoxing ourselves from the cell phone. This has really, it's breaking up marriages, it's breaking up so many things. How many times haven't we heard Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Magda Sahab speaking about the cell phone? How much haven't we heard? Allah give all of us tawfiq. But it's time we have, let's give some time inshallah, that within my family, with the children, we're going to detox inshallah from technology. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Protect every one of us. Protect the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.